Welcome to Off the Post with Jeff and Tetsu. I'm your host, Tetsu Kikuchi. With me here, as always, two-time Minisync track champion, Jeff Phillips. Jeff, always good to have you.
Great to be here, Tetsu. Excited for another show.
We haven't met together for a while, but there's plenty of stories to talk about. We're going to make the fans excited about all the stories we discuss. Let's start with the playoffs in NBA and in NHL. New York teams are in both of the playoffs. Knicks and the Nets were in the playoffs, but Knicks they're gonna play tonight against the Indiana Pacers. Classic rivalry from the 90s. Obviously, what was it? Reggie Miller is not on the Indiana Pacers anymore, but I still think that it's going to be a good series. New York lost and won in New York, game one and game two, so the series is still tied. There's plenty of basketball to be played. What do you think about the Knicks' chance this year? They look like they're a legitimate team compared to 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think they're definitely a solid team, and I do have a good feeling about it. I think they're going to make a deep run, and I think they might even win a championship this year. They seem to be a rounded team. They're not really they don't have to lean on stars as heavily as perhaps the Heat.
But there are plenty of stars already. I mean, let's start with Carmelo Anthony. Personally, from what I've seen, without Carmelo's effort and Carmelo's existence, the Knicks wouldn't be able to play like they are playing right now.
No doubt about it. But Carmelo Anthony is no LeBron James.
Do you think so? I don't know. I mean, I feel like all basketball superstars are very similar line with like the LeBron slash Kobe attitude.
I've been taught by the media to say that perhaps putting LeBron and Kobe on this, you know, imaginary, you know, they're up on Mount Olympus while I'm here shoveling in the trenches, that they're on some special level of their own. Maybe they're not, but I think I've just been brainwashed to think that.
Well, also the Knicks have, you know, plenty of supporting roles here. Tyson Chandler in center. Amari is finally back to play in Game 3 for 10 to 15 minutes after a long-term injury. J.R. Smith, the sixth man of the year, and Iman Shumpert. And Raymond Felton and point guard. So the Knicks had necessary cast, I think, to perhaps win a championship, I say so.
And I think they've really got the public behind them now. Go back a few years, and you really didn't hear people getting excited or talking about the Knicks as much, perhaps because they weren't near as good. But now you see advertisements on the train, on the commuter rails. There's a lot more Knicks talk going on.
I think so. The Knicks used to be in a similar position as the Mets fans or the Jets fans, I think. But I think that, you know, as I say from the movie Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come.
Have they come?
I think so. I think the superstars have come. Now it's, you know, it's
just need the rings to come.
Now it's the question is when are the rings coming? But if you build, or if you spend money to acquire what is necessary, aka the players, the coaches, yada yada yada, the fans will come, the money will come, and then hopefully in the future, the championship will come. I think that some of the New York teams in the New York metro area learn from this strategy.
Mm-hmm. But I think it is still always a handicap when you wear those orange and blue colors. Any team in New York knows it. When you are wearing orange and blue, it means you're kind of the second-hand, picked you up at the thrift store team. The Mets, the Islanders, the Knicks all wear the same colors, struggle.
If you look at the historically successful New York teams, I mean, the Yankees, they're what, like navy and white with pinstripes. Mm-hmm. Giants, blue, white, some little bit of red. Rangers, I don't know if Rangers is qualified. The Rangers is like a borderline, but it's still better than the Islanders. So that's like red, white, and blue, right?
Mm-hmm. None of these teams, some New York teams got the right colors, got all the wins. The other New York teams got the wrong colors, no wins at all.
The Jets have kind of like a more subdued green.
The Jets are an anomaly in New York teams, having chose the green and white. There's no, you know.
Why do they choose green? Do you even know?
Green for money, I think. They want to have lots of money or something like that.
Whatever.
Now let's segue into this color discussion into your beloved hockey.
Oh, yes, the hockey. NHL playoffs is still in the first round, but things are heating up. Last night, the Rangers lost a painful overtime loss in Washington against the Capitals. Now the series is 3-2. Game 6 heading back to Madison Square Garden. Rangers need to win Game 6 in order to stay alive and force the series to Game 7. Right now, we don't have a feed from our Rangers correspondent Adam Wolf, but from what I hear on his Facebook statuses, he seemed very, very angry from last night's game. I think something about Brian Boyle, something about the missed opportunities. Because the Rangers, I think, had a momentum after winning that game four in a very strong fashion, almost close but strong fashion. And then the Islanders, on the other hand, they got crushed by the Penguins on Thursday. On Thursday, and that series is 3-2 Penguins going back to Nassau Coliseum. Again, same situation for the Islanders with the Rangers. They have to win Game 6 to stay alive.
It could still certainly happen, although I have to say, you know, all the viewers know that I am not particularly in love with this hockey sport.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be too brokenhearted if both New York teams are eliminated.
But that's like, I mean, isn't that a little bit counterproductive not to support the New York metro team area?
I don't know if it is. I certainly would not be supporting the New York football Giants or the New York baseball Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So why not support as well the New York hockey people?
Why not, though? I mean, there's two teams. Yeah. The convenient thing about New York is that there's always two teams in every sport.
That's
and,
true.
You know, if you don't like the other, you can you're by default supporting the other team. Then.
Well, the problem with the if either New York team makes a deeper run into the playoffs is I have to hear about hockey even longer.
Mm-hmm,
if
that's for sure.
Rangers and Islanders were to, you know, one of them were to make it to the finals, perhaps win the cup, then I would have to deal with seeing hockey fans in the street happy, and I don't like seeing people happy, let alone seeing these hockey fans happy.
Well,
they go out, they burn down buildings.
But if you say that, you might antagonize a lot of the viewers who love hockey. Clearly, one of our correspondents, Adam Wolf, is a huge hockey fan. Boston correspondent Tim Gore, a huge hockey fan as well. He plays hockey in NYU. I love hockey because I'm from like Detroit area.
Hmm.
So I don't know. You might be fighting along against these potential superstars, you know.
Well, there's no souls beyond saving. I think I can bring these people back from the sinning of hockey and bring them back into the light.
Now, last time we talked about hockey, you mentioned Sidney Crosby and told me what's wrong with him, right?
Well, I hear a lot of chatter about Sidney Crosby. He's the worst. I hate him. But I just voiced the question. I don't know much about him. I don't know much about hockey in general.
Well,
what's so bad about him?
Well, just pretend he's like the Kobe or he's like the LeBron of NHL, and you'll kind of get some of a idea what you're trying to discuss about. You know,
I can certainly imagine.
If you start talking about Sidney Crosby in a positive light to non-Pens fans, among hockey fans, it's like opening a Pandora's box. It's going to be a huge barrage of the ridicules, the swearing, the interjections. It's going to be a big mess.
Would basically. You say Sidney Crosby incites as much hate as players in other sports that are extremely polarizing, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, as you mentioned? Where does Sidney Crosby measure up in terms of how much he is despised by the people who don't like him.
I think to a level of A-Rod, really.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, it's pretty big. I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty big. So,
well.
Next topic, let's talk about the Geno Smith in the minicamp. Jeff?
Well, Geno Smith, as you all know, drafted by the Jets in the second round. He's been taking a lot of criticism lately.
Already,
you know.
Typical Jets player.
Absolutely. And I think he's responded well from it. I think it would be absolutely ridiculous if I were to make any, provide any analysis on his skills at this point. He's mm-hmm. probably thrown the ball a total of 7 times at this point. And then afterward, the reporters on the scene said that he gave himself a grade of F for the day. Is that being a little bit too critical? I mean, obviously he wants to show that he is modest. He has a lot to learn.
Wait, he's the one who gave himself an F, right?
They said, how did you feel you did of training camp today? And he says, I give myself an F for failure.
You know, I appreciate, you know, a modest player like that, especially in a New York Jets organization where everybody is just trying to show off, showboat, I'm the best, you know, me kind of
when
thing.
When in reality, not the best.
Basically. So I think that Geno Smith is trying to, you know, reserve himself from this Jets media hype, I want attention, Rex Ryan kind of attitude.
Do you think that if Geno Smith continues this kind of attitude, that maybe this media circus will just sort of, you know, the flames will kind of die down? Do you think there will ever see a day, you know, I pray every night, where I don't have to turn on ESPN and see my beloved Jets any time of the day? I would love to hear nothing about my team on the news. Do you think we'll ever see a day like that?
I don't think so, because New York media by far is the most, you know, they always want news. They always want attention. Not just any news. They want big bombastic news that, Joe Cogliani or whatever those kind of names are from the Bronx wants to read while going to the construction work or something like that.
It's
you
true.
Know, like it's for the masses. Masses mm-hmm. love these kind of, you know, entertaining short news that everybody wants to know, especially like, you know, especially great when if it's like a sports organization like the Jets, for example.
And I suppose they'll just bite right onto the news, even if it really isn't big news.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't matter how small, as long as you can make it seem big.
Last summer, I read an article on the New York Post, and the back page, back cover of the New York Post. This was in the summer, so there wasn't really much big football news, but it still said Sanchez scores, and apparently the New York Post found out who Mark Sanchez was dating and they took a couple of photos about him and wrote a story about it. But see, any small story can turn into a big news.
I mean, we all remember when
the Daily News and the Post example.
We all remember when a certain polarizing figure took a run around camp without his shirt on, and what a frenzy that blew up into. Just ridiculous.
Clearly, obvious. Now, I mean, that was completely his fault, though.
Let's before we start talking about that stuff again, let's move on to some baseball news.
Thank God.
Tetsu, tell us about this controversy we're all hearing about over some umpires being suspended and revisiting whether instant replay in baseball is appropriate.
Well, the issue here is that the umpire failed to acknowledge the fact that the Astros manager's Bo Porter changed the pitcher in the middle of an inning while the batter was not out. So in a rule, you cannot change pitchers. You can change pitchers mid-inning, but you cannot change pitchers until the batter in front of the pitcher, a batter on the in the batting box, was made out was in play and moved to the first base, second base, or other bases, you know. Basically, you have to have a new batter. You have to wait to get a new pitcher until the new batter shows up. So you can't just, you know, you, one pitcher can't throw, like, I don't know, one ball, one strike, and then change pitchers to a new pitcher, you know? Makes sense? That's what the whole issue was in the Astros Angels game.
Have you ever umpired or reffed anything yourself before in your life?
I used to be an umpire for like pickup, like, you know, a lot of pickup, you know, baseballs. I think I did one a long time ago for like the little league, those like middle school kind of like baseball tournaments.
Is it easy to kind of get, you have to keep focus during these things for a long amount of time.
Is it easy
to get distracted and, you know, maybe some birds fly by, some girls in the stands are taking off their shirts? Is it easy to just kind of, you know, lose attention to the game?
I just think this was accidental, I feel like. I don't think this was like because they were tired or like because this was like hard work for them. I don't think so. I think this is just one issue. This is like one issue that just came up, you know, wrong place, wrong time. And I think that's it about it. But talking about instant replay, I don't think there should be instant replay in this situation because everybody knows who, like, if the pitcher was changed, you know, like, why is this guy like short and like white while the next guy is like really big and black, you know? Like,
it's true.
Same, like, you know, the bigger question about instant replays in baseball right now that instant replay is issued in confirming home runs in baseball, now there's like a question of whether they should install it for base running, you know, because those calls are very, very close. In some situations, you know, did the ball go inside the mitt and like the first baseman stepped on the bag before the runner stepped on the bag, yada yada yada. You know, those
I think that the baseball community kind of feels the way that the FIFA organization does about those kind of things, and that they like the bit of controversy in the calls. The fact that the umpire might call him safe, but the crowd thinks he's out, it adds a bit of drama to the game and keeps things interesting. Another argument I've heard, which I find absolutely ridiculous, is if we have instant replay, it'll disrupt the flow of baseball. And the flow is what the game is all about. And then I thought to myself, that makes no sense at all. If there's any game where flow is constantly interrupted, it's baseball. We'd make, you know, two pitches, then the batter says, wait, I just fixed every one of my, you know, my gloves, my pads. Let me step out of the bag, fix all my stuff again.
But you said, the baseball officiating and soccer officiating is similar. But I'd say no, because in baseball officiating, it's always clear what is black, like, you know, whether it's black and white. You know, there's no in between kind of officiating. In soccer, I think it does, you know. It's a foul, but I'm not going to give you a card, you know. Rather than it's a foul, you're, you know, getting a card, or it's no foul.
There is more of the referee has more influence in decision making in the game, whereas baseball,
you know, like for example, like the position of the free kick, you know, you know, the somebody says, oh, I got fouled here, and then like the defender said, no, he got fouled, you know, far back from the goal, you know, and
in baseball, whether or not the ref is right, he was either safe or he was
right.
There's no decision to
there's
be made.
There's no exactly.
I suppose the only real decision, the major decision they make, is throwing people out of the game. That doesn't happen all that often.
But, you know, that is, like, you know, just like any other, like, getting thrown out in any sports, like, those are, you know, always controversial, you know. So, but if you look at, like, the sports that has very strong video replays, I know you don't like it, but hockey, definitely one of the best ways that the instant replay has been installed. So what happens is that whenever there is like a questionable call, or, you know, questionable goal, yada yada, anything questionable, they'll just call, you know, what the referee does, if the referee couldn't see or couldn't see it completely, all they have to do is just go to the box, call Toronto. And that's where there's a place called War Room within NHL headquarters in Toronto. And what they do is there's people always stationed there watching every NHL game and with different cameras set all over the place, you know, by the NHL. And they make sure, see What was right and what was wrong, like what was right and what was wrong, for whether the goal was in, what the goal was out, blah blah blah.
See, the reason I think that's a good system is that the people in that room are impartial to any of the games.
Right,
it's not
they are
the,
basically away from like.
When an NFL referee goes to review the play, he's at the game. He's affected by the players, he's affected by the atmosphere.
The fans.
The people in this war room have nothing to do with that.
Basically, it's just a room full of like screens.
They can make a decision not influenced by the crowd, by anything.
Right, exactly. So it's a very, very interesting way of issuing. Maybe perhaps the future might be there. So, we're gonna take a quick break here. Coming up next, more sports news, NYU news, and Cole Sports News Network news. We'll be back.
Some bit of NYU news. As all of you know, it is finals week time, and around finals week time, maybe a little bit after, maybe a little bit before, we all have to fill out those course evaluations. We get these emails saying, "You got to fill this out. You won't get your grades."
Now it's on email, you know, not like on paper, I guess.
Well, you know, you're a dinosaur. I wasn't around when it was back on paper.
What, really?
Maybe these, you know.
Some of the
nurse
CAS
kids, maybe we don't do it like that.
Some of the CAS classes, a lot of the CAS classes actually had papers until just last semester. This year, this semester for me is the first time all of my classes had to be evaluated through online.
Interesting. Well, moving in the right direction at least. Nursing's a little bit ahead of these political science people. But anyway, are these evaluations effective? I mean, a lot of students get these evaluations. And they've either, you know, they have it in for their professor, they hated them, they give them, you know, zeros in every category that they can in the comment section, they just berate them and, you know, make up false allegations about rape and about, you know, sexual harassment. Meanwhile, other kids say, who cares, I just want to get this done, click great, 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 great in every category.
To be honest, like, you know, like, there are, like, these course evaluations, and then nowadays there's a thing called, like, Rate My Professor. Yeah, something like that. Personally, I'm very against any of those kind of things.
Anything?
Any of those kind of things. Okay, maybe the evaluations are very important for, like, the university purpose, because, you know, they want to see whether to keep hiring this professor or, like, you know, fire them or something like that. But the reason why I'm very, not strongly against it, but like very question. No, I have to question these kind of things. Is that one? Is that these kind of like having a bad teacher or having a good teacher is it should be like not out of luck kind of thing, but something similar to it. You can't just choose and like easier way into like the whole university life, but just by picking like the easiest teacher, the best teachers. In life, there are plenty of people who are bad bosses. There are plenty of people who are bad superiors or scary superiors. As much as you know, there are good superiors. You know, funny superiors, whatever.
And you also might find a professor who you know has. Is considered very hard, but you might have a different opinion. You might think they were great.
Exactly. You know, just because the person is easy, does that professor really teach you what you want to know? Question. Just because the professor is bad, does it really mean that this guy is just going to be giving out really unnecessary homework? I don't know. You know. So I think that these students really need to know that just because you're picking. No, option A doesn't mean it's always going to be a positive thing, you know.
And there's also a on that Rate My Professor thing. You can check out the hotness factor of your teacher. So I don't know what kids have the sad social lives enough that you know they need to pick the teacher that's really hot.
No, honestly, like, this is another example of higher education's just failing in America. I think you know we're just now. relying on these rate my professors, just like rating professors out of their looks instead of what they're teaching. It's just ridiculous, really, I think. This isn't some like Hollywood, you know, cheap like B-class like dramedy here, you know. Like, this is a place to educate yourself. This is a place to study yourself, and clearly these kind of new, you know, developments like my professors are not helping our educational community. So that's what I have to say about that.
Speaking of the educational community, as I'm sure many of the listeners have heard, Cooper Union, a neighbor to NYU, a sort of a smaller retarded cousin or something, has decided to institute tuition for the first time ever. It used to be free. Now they are being forced to charge tuition because, you know, they just can't afford to have people come there for free. Right. I don't know the details on how much people are going to pay, how much financial aid they get. It doesn't matter. But now there are Cooper Union students and NYU students, I'm not sure why, doing a sit-in in the president's office. I'm not sure how they even got in there.
Is the president's? Oh, they're just
they're physically just in his office, about maybe 20 or 30 of them, like sleeping and eating pizza in there, and until there's no more tuition
Wait, why are they doing this?
They're protesting the new tuition. They don't believe it's right. Well, now, given we don't really know all the details, we don't go to Cooper Union.
No.
But isn't it a little, you know, too much to ask, maybe, that this school would be free forever?
It's, I just think that this is a typical dreamland that the socialists or any kind of leftists like to imagine for the rest of their lives. You know, for the rest of their life, they just want to maintain the status quo, blah blah blah, about their, you know, security and I mean, obviously, I have, you know, respect for like the socialists with, you know, good true cause and stuff like that. Even though I'm like very against those kind of theories, I still have to respect, you know, what the other people think, you know, whether it's a communist or a fascist or a socialist here. But the situation here is that there's a real problem. You know, Cooper Union obviously is going to institute tuition because they cannot be in business without it now. It's that serious now for them. So now,
it does go against the founder of the school said when he, you know, created the school, he wanted a affordable, essentially free option for students, you know, who weren't able to afford an education otherwise. That was why the school was created.
Right.
And now, you know, that vision is maybe not lost, but it's not exactly the same.
It's very, I think I said this before, but it's very similar to what's happening in like Greece and Italy and like Spain. You know, these countries with their, you know, social programs and like reforms and stuff like that has been, you know, for example, like the Spaniards have been enjoying their social programs for like since last 30-40 years since the death of Franco, the dictator. Now that the government is running out of cash, running out, well, just fiscally fucked, you know, if I have to use that language, all the citizens are, you know, revolting against it. You know, people don't like to be taken away something that they had for a long, long time, you know?
Well, I there is a solution to that, and it is pay for it.
Basically, that's what I have to say.
If you would like these services, you need to raise your taxes, and if you'd like to continue going to school here, we need to raise your tuition. This isn't a political statement, but it's a fact.
It really is. You know, I feel like these people, some of these, you know, activists think that the cash is just out there somewhere. You know, we just have to hit the reserve in the ground.
If we just keep drilling, the quarters will start flying out.
And then, and some people also say, you know, we should just start taxing the riches more. But that's only a limited thing, too. You know, that's not gonna solve all the problems. Think if you're gonna raise the taxes, you have to just raise the taxes gradually for everyone. You know, whether it's a small percentage for like the poor or big percentage of the rich, it has to be up. Everything has to be up anyway, you know.
Absolutely.
You can't just have like half of the country, the 99% don't have to pay taxes, while the 1% have to pay all the taxes. It just doesn't work like that.
There wouldn't be enough money.
Right. The problem is much deeper than what these pamphlets all over NYU are saying. You know, like.
Well, I'm sure if you head down to Cooper Union right now, you could get some of those pamphlets.
Yeah.
So we'll be keeping an eye on the story as things unfold. And in other news, I'm sure you all have also heard, you've seen it on the news, that our the intern here, Steve O'Hare, has been let go after a previous incident. Now, Tetsu, do you have any parting words or to say about Steve?
Well, I really have no comment whatsoever, because the CSNN headquarters specifically stated to refrain from any emotional / opinionated comment regarding the removal or the release of intern Steve. Intern Steve was not able to be reached over phone or in person right now. Clearly, the whole issue started with a posting of a Twitter message from Mike Ditka saying, in short, Jets are a joke. Kind of thing.
And it seemed that intern Steve shared these beliefs, and it is not a belief that we hold here at CSNN.
I'm questionable about it, but at least Jeff is.
The organization here, we want to be factual, we want to be objective.
Interesting.
As you can tell, I'm sure,
but,
from our
coverage. But, as you say, Washington Square News is vehemently protesting against this forced removal of intern Steve, saying it's a war against the people's voice. You know, typical leftist comments, but...
Well, and to finish up about that, we are now looking for a new intern.
Mm-hmm.
The hole is empty. The papers are piling up on my desk. I haven't gotten coffee or lunch in 3 weeks. I don't really know what to do with myself anymore. So we are certainly looking for a new intern to fill the void.
Definitely, definitely.
And now I think we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a very interesting debate about sports meatheads. And now we're going to go into the tough guys debate. The other day, Tetsu and myself were discussing about these NFL types, NFL fans, who consider themselves sort of equal to the players on the field. They think that they are, you know, tough guys who really understand the game and are, you know, can say whatever they want about it and get away with it. And
even though they are not on the field, kind of thing.
They are not, in fact, on the field. Now, you know, you probably know these types. You've been around them. They played, you know, third string running back in high school. They're probably a little bit overweight. They, you know, work at some, you know, low-level insurance agency, but come home and go into their man cave and support the Giants or something.
Jets.
Never the Jets. These types wouldn't be associated with them. But what they've been saying lately is, you know, as over the past decade or so, the rules in the NFL have been changing to protect players from, you know, blindsided tackles and protect quarterbacks from, you know, needlessly aggressive hits, to protect the players from being injured. And some people are considering the league becoming kind of a wimp league. With
a
all
soft
these changes.
League.
Yeah, it's soft. And they say, hey, you know, I thought I was watching the NFL, not the flag football girls league. And I think that these comments are completely unfounded. And if obviously if these people spent, you know, one down of play on the field, they would be killed immediately.
Well, yeah, most people will definitely be killed now, after a first play of of NFL.
Can only imagine if they're saying that this is now the Pansy League and they're still would be killed in these situations. What would it be like for them if we went back to their personal heyday of the NFL?
Like the 80s kind of thing.
If we go back to the 80s. If we went back to where they think things were, you know, done the right way and Mean Joe Green came and snapped them in half.
Because Mean Joe Green could and will snap you in half, feel like. What I have to say is that, yes, a lot of the rules that's implemented in the recent years has been debatable, definitely, to an extent. It's definitely for the safety of the players, but one of the rules that they recently installed, which I really don't agree, is the running back rule, where running back cannot duck their head while getting tackled.
When did that rule come to be?
That was very recent. That was like 3 months ago,
Recently, I think.
But you know, like for example, that kind of rule controversial. Like I'm not gonna go in too much detail right now because I don't want to waste time. But healthy debate like that is good, I think. But in a way, it's at the end of the day, the headquarter, NFL headquarter, is the one to choose the rules. This isn't democracy, you know. This isn't there isn't like a Congress where all the NFL players and coaches are in like a Capitol Hill. And
that
like
might be more interesting.
That might be interesting, but I think it'll go nowhere basically. Because instead of two parties, there'll be like what, 30 parties now?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Yeah, the worst, I'd say. But going back to people like meatheads, I guess, that think they know their football, I always say to like people that like, we have to acknowledge ourselves that we are stupid, and if we're stupid, we don't know anything, you know? Like, so instead of pretending, like that we know this, we've been on the football field kind of thing, just like let it go, I think. People just can't really do that, can they? But like, it's a very simple thing, but it's very hard to achieve. Just all you have to do is just let them go, you know, let the issues go, for example, and then just enjoy it how it is. I don't know. It's very hard, obviously.
These types of people, that's impossible.
I understand.
But what do you think of what they're saying? Do you think that you know, the NFL, maybe sports in general, are we like sissifying these players and these leagues?
It's very debatable, definitely. I certainly agree with some of the rules that's implemented in any sports in the recent years to protect the players. But then again, there are some of the rules have been enforced, or some of the rules that have been changing the nature of the game. For example, my beloved hockey. Sorry again, Jeff, for mentioning this, but these hit rules, extreme modification in the rule changes really kind of change the strategy or the tactics, the way games should be played, I think. And it really interfere with some of the hitters, like some of the big hit, like the big defensemen who always utilize their hits to as their part of the defensive tactics. Now they have to figure out something else to do, you know. It's not really fair. It's not really fair for like the, you know, the defenseman who's been utilizing this strategy years and years since the creation of NHL.
Well, sure, when a rule comes in, it's going to be difficult for the players who have been playing a different way. But, you know, give it 15 years, and when we have a new stock of players coming in who have learned the game in a different way, who have, you know, built around these rules, maybe they'll be recruiting different types of players. And really, the question I ask to these people who are complaining that the games are changing and becoming more wimpy is, are you enjoying watching and participating in these sports any less? And I would say 99% would say, no, of course not. I still love football. I still love hockey.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, I think the rule changes won't deter fans from not being fans.
No,
you know?
Certainly not.
The teams will be there. The players will be there. Yes, there are some of the rule changes that might be questionable, but just because of rule change, I never heard of someone who said I'm not gonna watch like football, or I'm not going to watch like baseball. I'm not going to watch basketball.
Like, I don't think we're going to see, you know, like Cowboys Stadium completely empty because they're saying, well, if I can't see Eli, you know, get sacked with a helmet hit to his chest, then I don't want to go.
Yeah,
what's
exactly
the point?
Like, you know, like I don't think that those days will never come. So hopefully we don't have to worry too much about this whole meathead issue, or like could this like rule changes deter fans from going to games or just watching the game in general. But hopefully those are good. So that's it this week for Off the Post with Jeff and Tetsu. Follow us on Twitter. That's @Coles_CSNN. And also like our Facebook page. Just search Coles Sports News Network. You'll receive sports updates, funny news, and our daily lives of Jeff and Tetsu right on Facebook. Check those pages out. So that's again, once again, that's it for Off the Post with Jeff and Tetsu. We'll probably see you next week.